International transformation and success coach Myrna Morris Young delivers life-changing strategies as the host of the Mindset Transformations radio show and podcast. Myrna shares these strategies from success achieved in her own personal journey and by interviewing other best-selling authors and coaches. Each show gives you practical tips on living your best life now by changing your mindset to change your life. I am grateful that you have tuned in today from all over the world. I believe that the Spirit of God led you here so that you can receive insight, revelation, and knowledge to see the next step in front of you as God reveals His purpose and destiny in your life. And now, here's Coach Myrna.
Welcome, one and all. Welcome to the Mindset Transformation radio show and podcast. We are live on location at the main Broward Library here in downtown Fort Lauderdale. We're streaming live to Facebook. Hello, Facebook. We're streaming live to YouTube. Hello, YouTube. And for my radio audience at 99.1 FM in Metro Atlanta, we're going to say hello. We are recording the show today because I'm going to be showcasing my book, Out of the Snares, A Story of Hope and Encouragement. I'm going to be doing a book discussion on this book, and then I'm going to bring on a panel of speakers, and we are going to discuss how to play with the cards that you're dealt in life. This book was written with the intention of drawing life lessons from various aspects of my life. For example, the passage that I'm going to read to you today is the first life event that I introduced in my book. And that is as a victim of childhood sexual abuse and being born poor. So what I wanted to share with you is that you don't have to be a victim in life. You don't have to be derailed by things that people do to you in life. You can be a player just like you play the game of blackjack, right? If the dealer is showing a picture card and you only have small cards, you don't chuck it in and say, you know, there's no way that I can win. No, what you do is that you have hope and you have an intention to win. And whenever you have an intention to win, chances are you will win. So my guests today that I'm going to introduce on my panel are Janice Virtus, Coach Dan Wilms, and Coach Jenny Wang. So I'm going to start off by reading to you a couple of pages from my book, Out of the Snares. I will start at page 8. I was born into a family with nothing. My mother and grandmother were both domestic servants. My dad was in teachers' college and did not know his real father. He lived with his mom and stepfather, who was an alcoholic. In 1959, Guyana was a British colony of England. That was the year I was born. Similar to how England colonized India and took all the wealth out of India, in a similar way, they took all of Guyana's resources. Most of the blacks and Indians were living in poverty. My mom and grandmother worked for white English folk. So as a child, I was always fed and had clothes and shoes to wear. My mom and grandmother were both made her clothes, so it was understandable that I would be drawn to my godfather, who was a wealthy man with several houses, several cars, and a corner shop filled with snacks and chocolate bars. Mr. Clark, as I will call him, took a liking to me beyond that of a godfather and treated me like his grandchild. I spent a lot of time in his house. He took me out with his family every week, bought me things, gave me food, showered me with gold chains and gold bracelets. He was also a goldsmith. I ended up sleeping over at his house several times per week and playing with his grandchildren. He used to like to bounce me on his knee with his legs massaging my private part. One day, my memory recalls, when I was about 5 years old, he braced me up against the wall and caressed my body. As I got older, the touching became more intimate. He would rub my legs whenever I was close. His favorite was to feel me up in the front seat of his car. We would be driving in his car to school, and his hand would be under my skirt, fingering my private parts. I was sure that people could see him doing this to me, but he said they could not. This continued for several years, and then one day he took me in a room behind his shop and took my virginity with his fingers. I didn't tell anyone. I'm not sure why. I do remember thinking that I loved him so much and wanted to die before he did. Mr. Clark started getting a reputation for liking little girls, and my dad asked me if Mr. Clark ever touched me. I lied and said he did not. Well, I'm gonna skip a couple of paragraphs. Don't wanna get into the nitty-gritty details here. And I'm gonna go to, you know, my conclusion in this paragraph. And it says, in this chapter, it says, "Now looking back, if I were to collapse my consciousness and become the observer in this experience, I would say that on some subconscious level, I knew what we were doing was wrong. I'm not sure why I chose to keep it a secret, but research shows that children never tell. They become ashamed and feel that they are to blame. I know I have always felt shame. It took me a very long time, a very, very long time, to share my story. And writing this book was my way of coming into the light and putting the devil a notice that I will no longer, that guilt and shame would no longer be a part of my life." So that's just the introduction that I want to introduce you to one of my life, one of the cards that I've been dealt with in life. The third chapter in my book is about motherhood. And all the repressed feelings that I had as a child that I repressed came back when my daughter was born. My first child was a son, and nothing actually, you know, happened there. But when I became a mother of my daughter, then immediately, like a lion protecting his cub, I immediately went into protection mode, you know? And I started having nightmares about my childhood. I didn't want my husband to touch me, so then my marriage started to be in shambles. But, you know, I went through life until that point, because my daughter was born when I was 29. And up until that point, I felt that I had come away unscathed from this event. I never was the victim. In my book, I talk about the positives that I brought along from that situation. And one of the positives that I'll mention now is the fact that even though I was poor, Mr. Clark was very rich. So I had a very rich childhood because he gave me everything that I wanted. Chapter 5, I talk about entrepreneurship. And that's where my mind expanded. My family moved from Guyana to Toronto when I was 17 years old. You know, I always had favor from God in my life. I got a really good job at a bank. Decided to go back to college, got a degree. And then I met Mr. Tony Robbins. And Mr. Tony Robbins, you know, let me realize that I have personal power. And I became an entrepreneur, very successful entrepreneur. I started a company in Toronto called A Royal Livery Limousine Service. And I became one of the top limousine operators in Toronto, you know, getting the Entrepreneur of the Year award. And again, I'm playing with the cards. Expanding your consciousness, realizing that you can be something more than your birth. You know, we all start somewhere in life, but it's where we end up. And then I had a vision. And my vision was to become an American citizen. My vision was for generational increase for my children. So I went through a 10-year period working that vision. And that is the heart of the book. It's almost a suspense thriller because, you know, there's lots of ups and downs. It was written, you know, people tell me they laugh and they cry with me, but there's a story there. 10 long years. Okay, so, but I won. I won with the cards that I was dealt. I became an American citizen. I became a life coach. I have a vision. And my vision is to share hope and encouragement to anyone else. You know, regardless of where you start off in life, you can always end up in, you know, all the stories that we will hear of people that have become great, they all started off with nothing. So the only other thing that I want to leave with you is at the very end of the book, I talk about God's consuming fire. Because the only way that we persevere in life is if we have purpose. And the purpose that God puts in you becomes a fire. You know, the analogy is taken from Moses at the, you know, on the burning bush. Fire is not meant to consume you. The fire is meant to make you better and make you great. And I talk about three people that I think had this fire. Abraham Lincoln, Arnold Schwarzenegger, and Walt Disney. These are men that surpassed insurmountable odds and became great. Their name will always be mentioned, you know. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger isn't exactly great, but, you know, I remember reading his biography, and one of the things that I always remember is, you know, where he said there's four of them living in a room. They had to walk a mile to get water in a bucket, and his dad and his mom and him and his brother bathed out of that one bucket. Now that's an incredible place to start. I want to also share with you what I think that I have played with the cards that I've been dealt, right? One of the first things is that I concentrate on kanai. And kanai is constant and never-ending improvement. They say that the secret to happiness is always moving towards a goal. And that is how I play. It is wonderful that we're meeting today in a library. And I've always been a reader. I've always read books because books is how you play to win. I mentioned Tony Robbins earlier. Tony Robbins is now a billionaire, but a B, right? And that's because he made himself read 700 books a year. And those books taught him everything he knows. Pat Riley, we're in Miami. We're gonna make a quote from Pat Riley. Pat Riley says that if you're not growing, you're dying. So we should always be growing. And the second way I have dealt with the cards that I've been played is that later on in life, my very first book in 2012 I wrote, and it was called Becoming Conscious, My Awakening. And I started understanding vibration. You see, whenever somebody does something to us, we feel bad. And what happens when we feel bad, we attract more things that are bad in your life, right? So you've got to be conscious of your vibration, because when you feel bad, then you're consumed and things happen. We always say, hey, you know what? Misery comes in threes, right? But no, you are attracting that. So when you're in a funk, you have to find some way to make yourself feel better. And one of the ways that I do that is to always live in gratitude. Because regardless of what's going on in your life, there's something that you can be grateful for. Breath, sight, legs, you know, food. So find something to be grateful for, and that energy is so powerful that it creates a positive in your life, and maybe some good things will come to you. So that was my presentation. Now we are gonna get on with the show. Come on, let's. All right, so my first guest is Janice Jean Virtues. Awesome, all right. Janice was born at home to Paulette G. Virtues and the late Jenequat Virtues on January 6, 1976 in Pétionville, Haiti. He emigrated from Haiti to Miami, Florida in 1984, became a U.S. citizen, and has been living in Florida ever since. In 2001, Genesee lost his dad, who was his best friend. Janessa's father, Jenequat, dedicated his entire life to mission work. Janessa has been motivated to pick up where his dad left off, with his life's focus being on ministry and mission work. In 2009, at the age of 33, Janice became CEO and founder of Passion Rescue Mission and reopened the Jenequat Virtues School of Excellence in Francois, Haiti, providing tuition-free education and serving over 225 students. He also became the overseer of two sister churches in Pétionville, Haiti. Today, he is still at the helm as CEO, leading multiple educational and spiritual mission trips each year to provide free medical clinics, food, clothing, and hygiene items to those in need. In 2006, Genesee earned his master's degree in theology from Life Christian University, where he's also a professor. He is now working towards his doctoral degree in theology. Jean is happily married to Gwendolyn Virtus and have four beautiful children. Bless their lives. Ladies and gentlemen, Janice Virtus. So Janice, impressive bio. I invited you to be part of this panel today because like you, like me, you were born in poverty in one of the poorest countries in North America. What would you say is the reason for your success? And how have you played with the cards that you've been dealt?
Thank you very much for having me here today. And I want to start by answering that question by saying winning has less to do with your hand and more to do with how you play it. And what I mean by that is a lot of times you could be born into a healthy, wealthy family, have the best education available to you, have everything available to you, but based on how you play that card, you end up in the wrong place. And you could be born in a third world country. I was born in one of the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, which is Haiti, but based on how you play your card, or the cards that you're dealt with, is how you're going to turn off in life. So I want to start by saying that winning has less to do with your hand and more to do with how you play it. So the first rule is you have to play. That's the first rule. You have to play. We don't get to pick the cards that we're dealt, but you have to play what you are dealt. You can't upgrade, you can't change, you can't switch, but the key in life is play the cards that you are dealt. How you play your card or your cards determine a lot about who you are, and it determines who you become in life. I would suggest that you play them to the best of your abilities. Pay attention to how you play your cards. Pay attention to what you are playing. Ask yourself questions. Are you playing to your strengths? Are you learning from your setbacks? I'm not much of a card player, but I'm a domino player. I play dominoes. And
So you cheat.
No.
So you count. You cheat.
That's not cheating. Counting is what life will throw things at you.
But you cheat.
It's not called cheating. It's called paying attention.
Okay. I rest my case.
It's called paying attention.
I like it.
Because if we do not pay attention, how we expect things to be don't always go the way that we expect it
but
to be.
But you always win at the end.
Not all the time, but the goal is to win.
Okay.
No matter what 7 piece of dominoes I get, the goal is at the end of it, I'm not going to be the one with the most numbers.
You must play with some Jamaicans. They always count.
Well, I'm going to tell you this. In Haiti, we love the game of dominoes. And people will count. And it's not called cheating, it's called paying attention. Because if you do something in life and it produces a bad result, and you do the same thing, it's going to produce the same result because you have not learned from your first mistake.
And
so if I play,
and,
well, that's America.
Yeah.
If I play a double six and everyone has passed on double six, I've already realized, guess what? No one can play six other than me. So that's why you have to pay attention.
As well.
That's why you have to pay attention to it. You gotta pay attention to your results.
I'm just saying what he's saying. That's all I'm saying.
You have to pay attention to your results based on the moves that you're making in life. And other people in life will make moves that will affect your move. So you can't have your mindset that I'm going to play this, I'm going to play that, I'm going to play that. Because there are circumstances, there are hurdles. Kenny Rogers once said in a song, know when to hold, know when to fold, know when to walk, know when to run away. In life, you got to know when to hold. You got to know when to fold.
I'm not playing down this video.
Strategies that I've used in life for me to deal with the cards or play the cards that were dealt to me. 3 simple things. My faith. Hanging on to my faith. Without my faith in God, there are situations that we're in, there'll be no way out. So my first thing is my faith. Second thing is the pursuit of an education, the one thing that no one can ever take away from you. And the third thing, a good, strong support system. We're so easy to put somebody down, but we need people to help us get to the next stage in life. And I read this somewhere, I forgot, it gets lonely up top. So don't go there by yourself. Take somebody with you. So a good support system. My faith in God gives me strength to continue to push forward no matter what the situation is. Faith is the confidence assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. And that's basically what Hebrews chapter 11, 1 tells us. We have reason to always be hopeful, no matter what we're dealing with, because of the faithful God that we serve. And I can be a testimony of I'm a personal testimony of that, how faithful God is. There was a point in time in my life, I was unemployed for 9 months. But during that unemployment for 9 months, I never missed one lease payment. I've never missed a car payment. I've never missed, my light never got turned off. My water never got turned off because of the God that I serve is a faithful God. Things aligned the way that it needed to align. Okay, so that's my first thing. It has to be my faith. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 37, says that we're more than conquerors We're not conquerors, but we are more than conquerors. And we are our worst enemy because we tell ourselves a lot of things that we cannot do. We're the ones that sees that and says, I don't think I could achieve that. And there are people that will look at us and say, you can do it. But we will tell ourselves that we can't do it, we cannot do it. But remember, I'm here to tell you today, you are more than conquerors. Matthew 11:24 says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. The key word in that verse is believing. Express the confidence of faith by boldly declaring specific promises related to your situation. As you do, you'll find that you have peace and quiet rest, that God is at work in your situation, even though you might not see your way out of it. We have to see things as they are not, but as we wish to see, as we wish them to be. Faith has been that conduit to me. Faith has been that one thing. When fear has knocked on my door, I let faith open that door for me. So that's been my conduit. Second thing is pursuing an education. Pursuing an education helps you play the cards that you're dealt in life. It is not a secret that a good education has the power to change a life. We all know the importance of education. It is supposed to give us knowledge of the world around us and change it into something better. Like I said earlier, education is that one thing that no one could ever take away from you. It should be that driving factor to get into where you need to get in life. If it wasn't for an education, there are a lot of jobs that I applied for I would not be qualified for if it was not for the education that I have. And education gave me an opportunity and helped me play my cards better. Play your cards wisely to leverage all the resources available to you when it comes to each stepping stone in your education. Take full advantage of financial aid, grants, scholarships, internships, partnerships. Always have a long-term goal in mind, but have a flexible mindset and shuffle your card along the way if needed. I arrived in the United States when I was 8 or 9 years old, and immediately I had to adapt. Immediately I had to learn this language so I could learn how to play my cards that were dealt to me. From there, I played each card, not the right way, but the way it needed to be played at that time. I'm almost at the last step, which is my doctoral degree. I currently right now have a master's degree in theology, currently getting my doctorate's degree in theology. I currently work for a healthcare management organization, which I manage 45 medical clinics around the state. I am a director of information technology for this organization. The cards that were dealt to me were against these odds, but because of my faith, because of the education, and because of what I'm about to talk to right now, a good support system, I am where I'm at today. From the start, I've always had a great support system. My parents have always believed in me and pushed me and my brothers and my sisters to go above and beyond. I was born in one of the poorest countries in the Western Hemisphere. Here's what was dealt to my parents. They were born in Haiti. They were born to parents who did not know how to read or know how to write, but learned how to read and write to make sure they could get us a better education. Both of my parents became educators. Both of my parents at an early age decided that I need to find a way to get my kids out of Haiti and bring them into the United States, the greatest country. And I'm going to repeat
greatest
it again.
Country
the greatest the country, the United States of America, to get a better education and ultimately a better life. My parents taught me the importance of being of service to others, the importance of giving back once I was blessed, the importance of working hard. As an adult, I have surrounded myself with mentors that I can reach out to. The people around you need to be able to add value to your life and vice versa. Try to build a support system by looking at the people that's placed around you as what you call aces in the hole. These people are the hidden advantage or resources. Find people that are that have excellent character, that share your vision, that share your value, and care about you unconditionally. And one of those mentors are my current pastor right now, Dr. William L. Glover, that whenever he needs to wear a pastor hat, he wears it. Whenever he needs to wear a friend hat, he wears it. There are times I don't need to hear from a pastor. I need to hear from a friend. There's times that I just need to hear from just a guy. And he has been that mentor to me. So a shout out to my pastor, Dr. William Glover at Mount Hermon Ministries in Fort Myers, Florida.
I have gleaned so much from Dr. Glover as well. I'm also a member.
I was fortunate enough to come to this great country to get an education. And in turn and return, back in 2009, I reopened a school that my father had with 109 students at that time. Currently right now, we have 225 students getting a tuition-free education in one of the poorest mountainous village in Haiti, which is Francois, Haiti. We provide meals, we provide school supplies, we provide uniforms, and we have 12 teachers that are employed, and I have a waiting list of over 300 students in that school right now. So it's not enough.
It's great.
Thank you. It's not enough. It's not enough to just get to where you need to get to, but once you get there, you need to give back. Once you get there, you need to reach back. And I reached back to the village that I was born in and provided one thing that no one can take away from me, which is an education. And that's what I'm providing to those kids right now. If you need any information on Passion Rescue Mission, you can go to www.passionrescuemission.org. Thank you very much.
That's awesome. All right, well, let's give Tess a hand. Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Janice. That was wonderful and inspiring. Our next guest. All right, let's give a hand for our next guest. Our next guest is Coach Dan Wilms. Dan is a facilitator for the Leadership Challenge, a writer, and an international speaker. He is also the creator of the Positive Change Workshop and facilitates his workshops in Portuguese, English, and Spanish. He has facilitated more than 145 Positive Change Workshops. Ladies and gentlemen, Coach Dan Wilms.
We don't shake hands.
Awesome. All right, let me give you a little bit more. Dan and I share history. We met at the University of Miami Coaching Certificate Program. We have collaborated on the UX for video blog. Dan has been a guest on my radio program, the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I have been a guest on his radio show, The Science of Happiness. Dan, I have heard your story, and it's an amazing one. Why don't you share your story with my audience and tell them how you played with the cards that you have been played and won?
Woo! Honey, thank you so much for inviting me. I was very excited. Last night I was wondering what I was going to say. I didn't know I could prepare something so nice as you did. Man, your story is amazing. I felt really bad after that.
He has stories.
But last night I was wondering about what made a big difference in my life. I mean, we all came from, most of us came from a difficult life. I mean, I was driving here this morning from Stuart, where I live, and I was wondering how hard it is to be born in a poor country, like Brazil, Haiti, or many other, Guyana, or many other countries. But at one point, how hard it is to be on Earth. It's not about being born poor or rich. I know a lot of rich people. They are worse than I was. They are more unhappy than I was as a child, and they have more challenges. So I'm coming to a conclusion, it's not about the money. It's not about where you were born. It's just, again, it's what you do with all that. I remember the first big tragedy I saw in my life, I was 11. It was my last day in school. I was ironing a shirt, and my father hanged himself in front of the 11 kids he had. And I was the baby. I remember we were so shocked, and he was Jeremy. And we couldn't get there because we didn't know what to do. So all these kids were around his body, hanging there for over an hour until the cops came. That was the biggest, not the biggest, but I think the hardest thing in my young years. I remember coming from that path, and last night when I was in bed thinking what I'm gonna talk to you guys today, the one thing came to my mind, it was the feeling that I had as a child that other people were more special than I was. Because my mom, who raised 11 kids with a horrible husband, who would beat her every single day, she always looked at me and said, Danny, she called me Danny. Danny is Danny in Portuguese. She said, Danny, you are very special to God. But then I would look around and I would look at the other families where there was no alcohol, there was no drugs, there was no fighting. And I would think, wow, why are they more special than I am in the eyes of God? And I grew up with that idea. And last night I was wondering, do black people, when they are kids, they look at white people and think, wow, why are they more special than I am?
Yeah, it's true.
Then I was wondering about, do like people who are a little bigger, do they look at skinny people and think, why are they more special than I am? Then I came to my reality and I was wondering, do gay people look at straight people and think, wow, why are they more special than I am? That was the way I was raised. I was always asking why I was less special than other people. Because I was poor, because we didn't have a lot of food, because my father was an alcoholic, then my brothers were drug addicts. Then I would look at my neighbors and think, why are they more special than I am? Because my mom always said that I was special. But then I have to deal with all of this. Then thank God I grew up, and thank God I survived, and thank God I came to the U.S.
Amen.
Amen to that, right? And looking back, what made a big difference in my life was to make peace with my past. And many people nowadays in my line of work, I teach happiness. I teach positive psychology. I teach the science of happiness. And I have helped thousands of people to change their lives. Thousands of couples who come to me who they can't even look at each other. Parents who cannot have a conversation with their kids. Kids who cannot stand their parents. But somehow they have to live under the same roof. So they come to me asking for help. And one thing that I learned, and I learned that with my mom, you will not go further in life if you don't make peace with your past. It doesn't matter where you came from.
That's good.
If you're black, if you're white, if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're bisexual, if you're fat, or if you're skinny, you have to look to your past and make peace to it. That's what my mom did. My mom divorced my father when I was 9, 2 years before his suicide. And I remember a couple months after she divorced him, he did not have a place to go. He already had cancer, he had a lot of problems. So she built a tiny little shed in our backyard so he would stay there. And I remember it was Sunday, it was Mother's Day. And the cops and all the kids were around her cooking for her. It was Mother's Day. It was the day we had to cook for our mom. And I remember all the kids were cooking for her. And the cops arrived. But cops coming to our house was like, okay, nothing new. It was like everyday stuff. But they came to our house, it was weird. So they were all apologetic, which was weird too. And they, it's a small town, so everybody knows it, everybody. And they told my mom, well, we found your husband drunk and in a puddle of blood. And he's in the hospital. And we all jumped and said, oh, no, no, no. They are not married anymore. She is not his wife. And she told us to be quiet. And she asked to the cops if they could give her a ride to the hospital. So instead of going to the table and have her lunch with us, she went into the cop's car, which is a little embarrassing. I would be dying nowadays if I had to take a ride with the cops. Okay, and they took her to the hospital. 3 hours later, she came back. She had to walk for over an hour. The food was cold, and we were really upset. And my sister, who was always very verbal, especially to my mother, she was very pissed with what happened. And I remember my sister looking at my mother, crying and screaming and saying, how can you do that? How can you go after that man after everything he has done to us? And I think the biggest lesson I ever learned, he looked at everybody and said, you have to forgive your father. No matter what he did, he is your father, and nothing will ever change that.
That's good advice.
I forgave your father many, 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 many years ago, and I got free. I had my freedom from him the moment I forgot him, because then he had no control over me anymore. You will not grow in life if you don't forgive. If you don't look to your past and you don't feel embarrassed for being who you are. I was really embarrassed. I was a Mormon missionary. And as a Mormon missionary, I found out I was also gay. But then I couldn't be gay and be Mormon. I had to pick one. And I wasn't quite sure which one I was going to pick. Of course I was going to pick being myself. I mean, for God's sakes, God is my father. He made me just like he is. And then there I am thinking that I am broke. And how many times we feel broke? We think we are sick. We think we are disgusting. We think we are not good enough for anyone or anybody. That's how I felt most of my life. And it's horrible when you look in the mirror and you feel embarrassed, you feel ashamed of yourself. And you think you're going to burn in hell. Well, that's how I felt. That's what I thought. That's how I saw gay people. And the gift that I received from God is that one day I realized that I am gay. Then everything makes sense. Don't record that. Then everything makes sense. That's it. Then everything makes sense. But the one thing that I'm here to say is that I learned with my mom is, if you're going through anything in your life, stop and look back. It's always in the back. It's always in the past. The troubles you are dealing with right now, they were not made right now. They were made in your past. You will not achieve whatever you want to achieve in your life. You will not. If you don't go back and make peace. Whatever you are building today, you are not building for today. You are building for tomorrow. Whatever you are building today, you are building with the tools and resources you got in the past. So if you don't make peace with your past, I'm sorry, but it's not gonna work. You're gonna keep hiding, you're gonna keep ashamed of yourself, you're gonna keep feeling broken, but you're not. Of course, we are far away from home, and I know that. We all miss home, and we are so far away from home. And I'm not talking about the houses we live, I'm talking about the home.
Our countries.
Not our countries.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about our spiritual home. This emptiness, the emptiness that we feel from time to time. Don't confuse missing home with being lost. We have a Father in heaven and a Mother. They are very concerned about us. As long as we close our eyes, open our arms, he says, Dad, it's difficult down here. You better send me some help. And help me come. I think that's my message today.
Awesome.
Did I talk enough?
Yes. Thank you. That was awesome. Awesome. Well, let's give a warm hand to Coach Dan. Our presentation today. But before I bring on my final guest, let me give a shout out to our cameraman. We're gonna have a shout out to my husband, Leon Young, back there on the YouTube live. We're gonna give a shout out to my daughter, Keisha Morris, on the Facebook live. Thank you. Awesome. All right, and I would also say hello to Ms. Margo, the in-residence heckler, but she is on my radio program. We are doing a series right now called The Alchemy of Desire. We're doing a series called The Alchemy of Desire, so thank you for being in the audience, and she also has a story, but another day. All right, so now let me tell you about let me introduce my next guest. My next guest is Jenny Wing. Jenny is passionate about helping people improve performance through holistic learning. She is a professional certified coach and a senior learning and program manager at Nutrinex, which is the healthiest employer in the U.S. Jenny is also a certified health coach and co-author of the Bringing Mindfulness to Your Workplace. Jenny and I worked together at Office Depot. She was my mentor at Toastmasters. Then she became my coachee and she worked on finding her purpose. I would say that Jenny is on purpose. Let's give a warm big welcome to Miss Jenny Wang.
Dear friends, and today I want to share with you three cards that I played in my life. And as you all know, some cards we cannot choose, but some cards we can choose. So what is a card that nobody can choose? It's there for you, and you don't have any options. What is the one card that everyone has?
Family.
Exactly!
Family
is a card that nobody else can choose. We cannot choose our father, we cannot choose our mother, and the relatives. Is that correct?
Yep.
I was born and raised in China. Very traditional family. I don't have trauma in my life. My parents are very loving and educated. But there's one thing that we never agreed with. When I got married, I never thought I wanted a kid. I don't know how many of you are natural parents. Raise your hand if you are a natural parent. Thank you, thank you. I'm not like that. I never thought about kids in my life. I remember when I was 34 years old, my father called me from China, had a big argument with me, and he wanted me to have a kid. So I can't choose my card. Family is important for me. So I chose to put my family's happiness in front of me. And there is the decision I never thought I would make. Now many years later, 8 years later, people always ask me, what is the best decision you've made in your life? And I said, I chose to have a child. And I have my 8-year-old son here, sitting here, taking videos for me.
Hello.
He's brought so much joy, so much wonderful things in my life that I have never ever thought that I would have. How many of you have uncertainty to the future of the life? How many of you have fears in the future? We all do sometimes. And looking back, I think I took a plunge to the unknown of the future. I said yes to life. And I found a wonderful world that I've never ever thought I would have. So that's my card number one. I said yes to life, to my family, and it turned out a wonderful decision for me. The second card everyone also has, and you can choose about it and take a guess what is the second card and everybody would have in your life.
She's trying to
Okay, the second card I want to share with you is a career and friends. Raise your hand if you have friends in life. We all do. Raise your hand if you have a passion in your life. Thank you. We all do. So in my life, passion and friends are mixed all together. When I was 10 years old, I was in China, elementary school. I did not know what I wanted to grow up. I was not one of those girls who wanted to be a doctor since they were five. It never occurred to me like that. When I was 20, I taught high school kids in China, and I didn't know if I wanted to be a teacher forever. When I was 30 years old, I was here in the US in the learning development department in a corporate. I did not know if that was my passion. So when I was at 34, 35, I was still doing a good job, but I still don't know if that was my passion. I have been struggling for all of my life, despite of a good education, despite of a relatively good job. However, I surrounded myself with wonderful friends, one of them being Myrna here, and she is my first life coach in life. And over 2 years, she and I worked on finding my purpose in life. It's certainly not easy for me. I thought I was an educator myself. I thought I was pretty good about everything I do. But again, I didn't know what's the passionate thing for me. And now I'm 42 years old. I'm so proud to say I'm doing exactly what I dreamed of. I'm a coach for my company. I run a corporate university. And I am also a yoga and health coach. And this doesn't sound, thank you. I'm not sharing this to show off, I'm sharing with you to share. It's not coming easy for me. And now, because I coach myself, I coach people who are 70 years old, who are still finding their passion. And I know everybody has a stage. Every 3 to 5 years, we gotta look at our lives and thinking if that's something really what we wanna do. So the second card I played, I surrounded myself with wonderful friends who had a huge impact on my career.
Thank you.
The third card, I think it's relevant to everyone. It's given to you, but you have choice as well. And that is our health. That is our health, the card that we play with. I was born with a very sick. I remember I was diagnosed with pneumonia at 8 years old. Then I had so many antibiotics when I was a childhood, so that my teeth was actually stained permanently, and that was how sick I was. When I was 40 years old, two of my best friends, one was diagnosed as heart attack, and one was diagnosed as cancer. Two of my best friends in my life. They are still fine right now, but that gave me a pause in my life. That makes me wonder, is great education, yeah, wonderful. Great house, great career, those are all important. But at the end of the day, what is the most important thing for everybody? That is our health. So I took the journey on being a yoga instructor and a health coach for myself. I do that to save myself, to put a pause in my life. And I learned we can become happy by changing our bodies, by doing yoga.
Yes,
and I encourage you to think about the health for yourself. No matter how busy you are, no matter how outside achievement you are, by the end of the day, you have to take time for yourself. Always take time for yourself. So here are the three cards I want to bring to you. Say yes to life, opens a wonderful door for you. Always pursue your passion, no matter how old you are. And always take time for yourself to take care of your body and soul. Thank you.
Okay, well then I would say that we will wrap up. I want to thank, you know, everyone for joining us here. Thank you, Facebook, for tuning in. Thank you, YouTube. Thank you, my radio listeners, for continuing to support me. My radio program comes on every Wednesday between 5 and 6 at WDJY 99.1 locally in Atlanta, or you can listen on the internet at WDJYFM.com. Or what I would love for you to do is to subscribe to my podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and you just look for the Transform Your Mind with Coach Myrna. My guests, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come here today and impart your knowledge to, you know, to give hope and encouragement to someone that's listening, because you all have a passion. Jenny, she wanted to find her purpose and passion, and it's not to keep it for herself, but so that she can encourage others. Janice, you're a pastor, you're a missionary, you're a dad. I know you're a basketball coach. We didn't talk about that. So you're in our life. His whole life is in service, and that's basically what gives us encouragement and gives us strength. And then of course Dan, you know, he is all, yeah. You know, Dan is always in Brazil. He's helping his people. That's one of my, my long-term goals is to go back to Guyana and do what Dan is doing for his country. And that is helping people again, in the poor countries, to help them to understand that it's the mindset. And that's why I call my show the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. It all starts in the mind. I love the way Jeanette started off. It's because you can get good cards and still come out a mess. And you can get bad cards and you can win with them. And it's all the mindset. So you gotta keep your mind right. And if you keep your mind right, then anything is possible. So we're gonna sign off now, and thank you very much. Thank you.